You're listening to Intermezzo on 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. It's my pleasure to welcome back into our studios Monique Foster, who's the director and founder of the School of Dance and Music here in Las Cruces and also the Academy of Dance and Music in Alamogordo, and a guest dancer this summer, Morgan Williams, also known as Mo, and also his assistant, Bryn Fair. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Let's start with Monique. It's been about a year since we've seen you, and tell us what's happening with your School of Dance and Music.
Well, everything's going really well. We've been growing. A lot of shows we've been putting on. We actually worked with the opera here at the university this year. We choreographed and had some of our dancers perform with the opera company here. We did Dido and Anithis. We've had a couple shows over at Oñate Performing Arts Center. We did Don Quixote in May. We did A Christmas Carol in December. This next year we will be doing Nutcracker in Capella, and those will all be at Oñate Performing Arts Center.
Tell us how you met Mo and how you brought him here. I know this summer is when you bring some guest artists from out of town to give something a little extra to your students.
Yeah, I do like to do summer workshops because I think it helps motivate the students. It also keeps them excited about dancing. This year I brought back Jennifer Bourne, who I've brought in many times from Albuquerque. But we also do workshops throughout the year, and it's usually performing groups that are traveling. And the Flickinger Center in Alamogordo has been really good about bringing dance companies in every year. And usually when there's a dance company traveling, you can get some of their performers to come to your studios and teach workshops. And this last year was really neat because in November, when Eisenhower Dance Ensemble was dancing at the Flickinger Center, they sent Mo to my studio in Alamogordo to do a workshop. And then they sent Alicia over to my studio in Las Cruces to do a workshop. So we had workshops going on in both studios from the same company. And Mo is available to come back, and he really inspired my kids over there. They were really excited and thought he was just way awesome. So we got in touch, and I brought him back, and he brought an assistant, and she is absolutely wonderful. They've both been inspiring the kids a lot. This week has been really great.
All right, let's turn the mics to Mo Williams. Tell us where you get your inspiration from and how you then transmit it to all these young dancers.
Where do I get my inspiration from?
Yeah. What makes you want to dance?
Well, it started when I was younger, for sure, when I was in the fourth grade, and the Joffrey Ballet of Chicago came to my grammar school, and they had offered a spring program for boys, and I decided to try it out. I was just always that kid who always wanted to go and just do my own thing. Nowadays, though, as I get older, most of my inspiration comes from the students that I teach and the colleagues and coworkers that I get the opportunity to work with. I think that's the biggest inspiration of them all, especially at the students at Monique's school, because you can tell they have really good training. And when you have dancers like that already have really good training, with contemporary dance, you know, it's a little different. They get a lot of ballet there. So with contemporary, you need to have good technique, and we help those dancers break out of the shell. And it's kind of easier when they have a little bit of technique to work with.
So, you know, so when I was young and studying dance, we called it modern dance. Now we call it contemporary dance. And what I find really interesting is that contemporary dance has evolved. It's continually evolving. And now you have a huge influence of hip-hop, of athleticism and acrobatics and a lot of other things. So talk to us a little bit about how contemporary, what we call contemporary dance, which, you know, it sort of goes back to Martha Graham and Isadora Duncan and people breaking out of the ballet world to something very new, how it's really becoming yet something totally new again in this century.
Well, dance is one of those art forms that will always keep evolving. You know, it's just not going to stop. Contemporary dance, it just really has no rules. I think if you want to give it like a difference between modern dance and contemporary dance, I mean, for sure you need to know the pioneers and where things come from. Like you mentioned, Isadora Duncan, Martha Graham, Lester Horton. You can even go into like Eric Hawkins, Paul Taylor. But contemporary, those styles of dance, the modern styles, they all have rules, you know, especially with Lester Horton, Lynyrd, Martha Graham, you have to contract, you know. Jose Limon, his hands. Contemporary is just like, let's just move around. No rules. Let's, you know, one of the things I like to do with the kids when we're introducing contemporary dance to them is because we make them make different shapes. And we try to get them to get out of the habit of making like an average shape. Every kid's going to do a split when you say make a shape. Every kid can do a back bend. So it's like, you just make them shake in place, you know, shake, 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 and freeze. And then some abstract shape will come out of it. I think that's a start for contemporary dance for sure.
So break them out of some of the preconceived notions.
Yeah.
And just move. Mm-hmm. I see that your assistant, Bryn Fair, is nodding her head a lot. So let's bring the mic over,
Brynny,
and let Bryn be a part of this also. Welcome, Bryn.
Hi, thank you. I was nodding my head because I 100% agree that modern dance is more structured nowadays the way that ballet dance is structured. A lot of specific technique work and specific movements, especially for the different styles. And with contemporary, I think contemporary dancers are really like mixing all of the different styles of dance together. Like you said, there's influences from hip hop, influences from otherworldly dances, influences from tap, as far as like rhythm goes. I think that there's just a lot of room for innovation with modern dance or with contemporary dance. And I do think that modern dance influences it, and there are similarities, but when you want to look at the difference, I think there's just a lot more room to be creative and open-minded with contemporary dance. Mm-hmm.
And also with the music that you choose to dance
yes.
to.
Yes.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a big part of it. Mo Williams has a wonderful, you're part of the Eisenhower Dance Ensemble.
Yes.
And tell us about this wonderful Motown. It's really like little clips of several dancers and several Motown mm-hmm. tunes.
I love working with Eisenhower Dance Ensemble. I'm going to enter my fourth season. Lori Eisenhower is the director of the company. Motown is probably by far my favorite production of the show, given because it's Motown.
Oh, right. That's
I'm
your
the
name.
Lead. Come on.
That's your
no,
name.
I'm just, no, it's... Given that the company is based in Metro Detroit, you know, it's nice to do something for the city, you know, because they're always donating to us and giving back. So we have to give back to them. So Motown is actually a collaboration of choreographers. We have choreographers Gregory Patterson, Lori Eisenhower, Stephanie Pizzo. It's a really good lady. I can't remember her name. She's really nice, too. And it's a really good piece. She does a piece of Ball of Confusion. But anyway, it's what Lori likes to say is that it's not exactly the Motown movement. It's, you know, our version of it, but we keep it classic with the Motown music for sure. How Sweet It Is, Don't Stop, Michael Jackson. There's a duet that I do called 25 Miles. It's by far one of my favorite pieces in the show. But yeah, that's Motown. We toured a lot with it too. It's fairly popular.
I bet it is.
The Motown show. When we were here in November at the Flickinger Center, we did a kids show, and we incorporate our Motown production in it, and it's always a good hit with the kids.
Oh,
they
yeah.
love it.
I'm sure they do. So in the Eisenhower Dance Ensemble, Lori Eisenhower?
Yeah, Lori Eisenhower.
Does she do all the choreography, or does some of you add in pieces?
Each choreographer has their own creative process, is what I like to say, and Lori likes to include the dancers. She does a lot of improv-based movement, and she'll record it, and we'll come back to it, and she'll put her input in. She'll tell you what to do. So it's almost a constructive improv, which becomes a piece eventually. Not for the Motown show particularly. It's different choreographers that come for that. But when she does like her own concert works, she likes to have the dancers' opinions, and she puts it in the program. The creative process would not be possible without the dancers in the company.
Oh, nice. So mm-hmm. you got a lot of good credit. How many dancers are in the company?
This season we will be having 10. Sometimes when I first came, it was only 2 guys and 4 girls. So the workload was a little heavier on the guys. Mm-hmm. And then my second season we picked up, it was 3 and 3. And then my third season it was 4 and 4 and 2 apprentices. And then this season it's going to be 10 dancers.
So it's growing. Mm-hmm. Tell us what, as a professional dancer, how many hours a day are you dancing?
Monday through Friday, 9 to 3. That's not including touring. That's not including teaching. You know, so you start out a typical day. Mm-hmm. You'll have company class at 9 a.m. Yes, 9 a.m. It's real. You get up at 9 a.m. Well, you're up before that. And you'll have class from 9 a.m. to 10:30. Usually, you get a 5-minute break. Usually. Unless there's a costume fitting. Then you don't get a break. And then you rehearse until about 12:30. 30-minute lunch break. And then you keep going until 3 o'clock. Huh. And usually, you might not get a lunch break if there's a costume fitting.
Right. I gather those costume fittings are a big piece of it. Now, Bryn, are you also part of Eisenhower?
I actually just graduated from Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, with a BFA degree in dance. And I built my relationship with Eisenhower Dance Ensemble because they actually have a permanent residency with our dance program. So we are able to, I was in a student company that did shows with them, performances and stuff. We were like guest artists in their shows. And every Friday morning, we take class with them.
Oh, yes, my favorite part of the day.
Friday Tech. And then I got the opportunity last year to teach at their school. They have a Center for Dance for Children. So I'm actually one of the current faculty members at the Eisenhower Dance Ensemble Center for Dance.
All right, so we're talking about a long day of dancing that
yes.
I was just describing. You're also, I'm sure, taking classes and dancing most mm-hmm. of the day. Then you're also teaching and sometimes touring. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where do you draw this wellspring of energy from?
We drink a lot of coffee.
Coffee. Mm-hmm.
Monique buys us coffee while we're here.
She's been so nice since we've been here. I'm staying at this casita.
In Mesilla.
And I get to have coffee every morning, too, at this really nice coffee shop called...
Cafe de Mesilla. Those people love dance,
They
too.
Have this Mesilla tea. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, it's easy to balance it out. It really is, because you're passionate about it, you know, and you love what you're doing. Like, this summer, I've been teaching everywhere. I also teach for an intensive workshop called Dance Rogue Intensive Workshops.
Uh-huh.
And it's run by a founder named Charles Lawrence. He's an amazing guy. And he has really been helping me out with my teaching because I'm young and I still have a lot to learn. And he's really been mentoring me along the way with teaching, being patient, how to do it, structure, you know, just little things. But you learn. It's you learn as you go type job, mm-hmm. you know, with dance all the time because it's always going to be evolving.
Right.
It's always going to change. It's going to be something new.
Well, I think that should be the goal for every human being, but it's particularly so in the arts. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody says if I don't keep learning and growing and evolving, then you're stuck. You're
yes.
stuck. You're no longer an artist. Now, Monique, you were wanted to get a word in about how do you keep your energy, and you too, because you're teaching and so active and involved with growing their business mm-hmm. as well as all these new generation of dancers.
Well, with them, I was going to say they're young.
Right, they have that energy.
My knees hurt.
They're still in their 20s because they actually will teach hours on end. And when I teach hours on end, at the end of the day, I go home and I sleep. These two actually go out and then go dance somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Go dancing.
And they stay up all hours and then they're up the next day ready to go again. And I'm like, wow, must be fun to be young. But, you know, when you're in this field, you kind of take good care of your body and your health. And,
yeah,
you know, I know this, that when I'm not teaching, I'm low on energy.
Uh-huh.
Or when I'm not physical, my energy goes down. Sometimes on vacation, I'm like, oh, I don't have any energy. I come back and I get to work and I go all day long.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It's not always been the case that dancers or performers took such good care of their bodies, but I think we have a better understanding now of what, sleep and nutrition. We only have a couple minutes, but Mo, you said something that really interested me when you talked about Jose Limon's hands and you made a gesture that nobody can see except me and us, and Martha Graham contraction. You know, the evolving of contemporary dance has, it seems to me, it's been part and parcel with technology that we can see videos of those dancers. We don't have that option from the 19th century and earlier eras of dance. And you know, you didn't necessarily get to study with these people, maybe students of them, but mm-hmm. do you, and all three of you, I guess this question, do you watch a lot of movies and videos of the history of dance? Yeah.
YouTube is very helpful nowadays, for sure. I mean, I was fortunate to have teachers who did work with those students and, I mean, those pioneers, not students, but they were students
of
them.
Well, they were students at one point.
But, yeah, YouTube, one of my favorite people to watch on YouTube is Trisha Miranda. She is just amazing. Also, because the companies, one of my other favorite companies to watch, who I hope one day I'll be able to get to see live, is Netherlands Dance Theater.
Yes.
But because of YouTube, I can see it all. So I love it.
And all of that's, it's out there, and people are putting it on all the time, mm-hmm. these new recordings. Got about 45 seconds left. Did you want to add something in?
I was just going to say, yeah, that it's really important to pay attention to what other people are doing and watching, you know, what other companies and other dancers are creating. It definitely helps with my own, and I'm sure Morgan thinks this too, our personal creative process and the work that we're putting out. You know, it's important to pay attention to the other people in the dance community.
What they're all doing. Too short, but this was great fun. We've had Morgan Williams and Bryn Fair and Monique Foster. They're all this week teaching at the Las Cruces School of Dance and Music. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.